The insect world is a terrifying one. It's a bug-eat-bug world out there. Some deal with it by being bigger, faster, stronger, or more numerous. Others have subtler ways of staying alive. The mountain Alcon blue caterpillar dons a clever disguise, not to trick the eyes, but rather the heart and soul of its enemies, turning would-be predators into loyal subjects. But sometimes, you just gotta know how to work the room like the mountain Alcon blue here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website at LDTaxonomy.com. You silly goose.
Yeah. And today we're talking about a bug adoption, but more on that later.
Yeah, this one's interesting. This has got cuckoo bird vibes all over it.
What a cuckoo bird.
Remember we covered the cuckoo bird? But yeah, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the mountain Alcon blue. And whenever something is just an adjective, it's sometimes a butterfly.
Yeah, this definitely sounds like a beer.
Yeah, it's a weird... Butterflies have weird names a lot of the time. What was the one, the flesh-eating one that we talked about?
I don't know, but I'll find it. But yeah, we're also going to call... It's also called the Rebel's Large Blue. The Mountain Large Blue. You're my boy, Blue. I don't even know what that's from. What is that from?
That's from, like, Anchorman or something. Some Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah, I know Will Ferrell says it. There's literally the large blue butterfly. That's a different one that we've done.
Now, was that the one that eats flesh?
No, but it does something similar to this one.
We've talked a lot about the globe skimmer. Although that's not a... that's like a dragonfly.
That's not a butterfly. Yeah.
Purple Emperor. That's the one that eats flesh. It eats dead things.
Yeah, well, there you go. You have emperor. It ends on a noun. We're good.
There you go.
It just doesn't end with what it is.
Usually, things would end... like it would be the Purple Emperor butterfly.
Butterfly, yeah. At least it's not like Imperial Purple.
True. It's just a crayon name.
Yeah, Mountain Alcon Blue I definitely saw as a swatch at Home Depot. Yeah,
it is. That's exactly what it is. Okay.
But we're going to call it here the antagonist, Captain Hack Sparrow, and Radigan Begin Again. I don't know if I've used Radigan Begin Again, but it's ringing some bells, but
Radigan?
It's appropriate.
Well, do you want to know what science calls it?
Yes, I would.
The kingdom is Animalia. You know it. You love it. You're in it. You're basically this butterfly. Phylum is Arthropoda. Class, Insecta. Order, Lipoptera.
Lepidoptera.
Yeah, I've said this so many times. Lepidoptera. Lepidoptera. Family. Lycanidae?
Lycanidae.
Genus is Fengaris. Species is Rebelli. Fengaris Rebelli.
Fengaris Rebelli. Yeah, so that brings us to the listener's favorite part of the show, and my favorite part of the show. Nitty gritty nomenclature, where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Fengaris Rebelli? Now, we have, we have talked about a similar butterfly, also in the Fengaris family. So let's see if you remember what Fengaris means. I don't think you're going to need too much help on what Rebelli means. So, does Fengaris Rebelli mean A, Rebel of the Moon, B, Blue Mountain Rebel, C, Rebellious Sky Dancer, or D, False Rebel?
I guess we're going to go with False Rebel. False Rebel, final answer.
That is incorrect. It is the Rebel of the Moon.
Dang, Rebel Moon?
Rebel Moon.
Everyone's favorite space movie?
Is that a... I'm actually completely in the dark on that one. It rang bells. I was like, Rebel Moon sounds...
It's a movie by Zack Snyder that he was like, I'm going to make... They won't let me make Star Wars. I'm going to make my own Star Wars. And it's going to be awesome. And
oh,
it was terrible.
Yeah. I don't remember it because it was bad.
Yeah, nobody liked it.
Rebel Moon. And there was like a second one.
Yeah.
Like a part two. Like they did a Dune kind of thing.
Yeah.
Poor Wasn't Charlize Snyder. Theron in that one?
No.
I think of something else.
I think of it.
Charlize Theron was in something. The Monster Hunter movie that came out, I think, the same time.
I forgot about that.
They all just blended in my brain. But yeah, Rebel of the Moon.
Fengaris Rebellion. Dang. I did not know that was Moon. But yeah, okay. Want to know what it looks like?
Yeah.
Well, males display a vibrant violet-blue upper sides, while females show more subdued blue basal areas mixed with brown spots. The undersides are... huh? Basil of Baker Street?
Basil.
Yeah. I think that means...
Basil?
Basil, like
Like of the base? Of or relating to the base?
It is...
Flavisham?
Flavisham. The undersides are dark brown with small black spots ringed in white. Compared to the closely related Alcon blue, not the mountain Alcon blue, the Alcon blue, which is Fengaris Alcon, Rebelli often has a broader black margins on the male's upper wings and more extensive blue on the female's wings. So it's very similar to another species, but we'll talk about possibly it's not even another species, but some people say it is. It's distinguishing them in the field can be really difficult. And it's often based on context because they live in different places usually. So it's like, is this a puma? Is it a mountain lion or is it a Florida panther? Well, it's in Florida, so it's Florida panther.
Right.
Which is not true anymore because they put some mountain lions in Florida to help the populations. So,
But Florida panthers are smaller than mountain lions.
I know. So there's big old pumas traipsing around the muck out there.
Probably killing the remaining amount of Florida panthers.
Hopefully they're killing some pythons while they're at it. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
But that brings us to the Blood Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show. Part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms to a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering. The words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new Measure Up intro this week. But that means we get to hear from an animal, and Carlos is to guess what it is. Without further ado, bring the listeners part of the show. you have any idea what that is?
Is that Butterfree?
It is. It's the female Butterfree that they have to leave. The Butterfree has to go off by. Yeah, bye-bye Butterfree.
Bye-bye Butterfree, yeah.
And the blue, the blue regular Butterfree goes off with this shiny girl Butterfree.
He did some shiny hunting and...
Yeah.
Oh, that was it?
I don't know if that's an official shiny, is it? The pink one?
I don't know. But yeah, I get the Butterfree cry in the anime is that was like a very buried way back in my psyche. No, I was like, this is very familiar. I told my son that all of the Pokemon just say their name, but that's not the case. Butterfree is one of those.
Yeah, just squeals.
Starmie or Staryu goes, hey-ya! He's just a big starfish.
Yeah, I remember he does something crazy.
I was like, what? Well, why? Why just have him say Staryu? You're trying to get like these kids to learn about the world of Pokemon, right? And like, just have the thing say their names so that it burns it into their minds. But nope, it just hey-ya. Okay, this is a complete aside, but did we talk about what the Lynx sounds like when we were doing the show?
I think so. It does have a... I don't know. It does have a crazy...
It sounds like a man...
Screaming?
Frustratingly yelling. Like he just stubbed his toe and he's yelling.
Yeah.
I don't... Did we talk about that?
I don't know.
I feel like we didn't.
Well, there's a really famous video of two Lynx just like meeting and they're like fighting and it sounds insane.
Yeah. They're like, ah, ah, ah. I don't really, so we have done our audience a disservice if we did not mention that. But anyway, we're not talking about that. We're talking about this.
We do have a comment from Spotify, somebody on Spotify. I'm in your walls, says, I think ferrets would make a fun episode. There's some of my favorite animals. They're illegal to own in my state. We have to bring I'm in your walls ferret joy because owning one is out of the question in whatever state this is.
What state is that?
I don't know. Probably California, where you can't do anything.
They ferrets.
Although, weren't they going to like kill a squirrel, or didn't they kill a squirrel in New York, a pet squirrel? Because it wasn't allowed. The jackboots came and knocked down the door and killed a squirrel in New York City.
A single person squirrel or a whole species of squirrels live in New York?
Like a person's pet squirrel.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. It's like if you release that, there is no turning back.
This was like back like maybe a year or so ago. Yeah. But a bipartisan outrage over New York killing social media star Peanut the Squirrel. Yes, it was a social media star on top of being a pet squirrel.
Unacceptable use of the sword.
Yeah.
This is not what Romans 13 was all about.
No. That seems just like, didn't anyone think about how that would look?
The squad leader just turns around and goes like, okay guys, the optics on this are gonna be pretty bad.
Yeah.
We are murdering an adorable little squirrel that also
wears
has
a cowboy hat.
That also has a Twitter following.
Yeah. This thing has an income. We can't shoot it.
Unless it's not paying taxes, and then we could shoot it with impunity.
I mean, we're laughing, but it probably was really sad for the couple that owned this pet squirrel and put little hats on it and had an income. Based on this squirrel. This is lost wages.
Just Ooh. go get a regular legal squirrel. None of these illegals.
You might not be able to have any kind of squirrel.
Oh, you just can't have a squirrel? I thought he was like, oh, we brought a squirrel from like...
Well, it's like an I'm in your walls.
You Tanzania.
No. but anyway, that's on the list, I'm in your walls.
Ferrets.
Yeah.
Also, get out of my walls. Are you insulation?
Yes.
Or, no.
The picture is of...
You're a stud. You're a stud.
Let's talk about their wingspan. Adults have a wingspan. We're talking about butterflies now. Adults have a wingspan of about 30 to 36 millimeters or 1.2 to 1.4 inches. One pair of Roman gold earrings with amethyst discovered in Medulin, Croatia. Do you know how to say that?
I don't know Croatian.
Is, well, you've been there, haven't you?
Yeah, I went to Zagreb.
Yeah.
Plitvice.
Yeah, it's not like a typical Croatian town sounding name. Sounds like, I don't know, Medulin?
Although there is a town.
My last name is Croatian, and it doesn't sound like that.
There's a city in Croatia called Split.
There you go. So, well, it has no... Yeah. All right.
There's no rhyme or reason.
They're just having fun over there. It's representative of a delicate personal adornments recovered from Roman sites in the region of Europe, this region of Europe in the second century. Second century Roman earrings. True or false? The wingspan of the mountain blue halcon is the same length as these earrings. I will send you a picture of these.
Oh, I get a visual aid?
Because otherwise you're just like, earrings could be any size.
That's true. I feel like after seeing a picture of it, I'm going to know. But
I don't think you will. It's the top left. I'll put this picture on the internet, on the website. It looks almost like an octopus. Ear. No.
It looks like a lunar lander.
Yeah, kind of.
It's a oval with an amethyst in the middle with three gold-like legs.
Danglers.
Dangling down.
Also, take note of the fact that these are second century earrings. And they look like what you'd see today. One of them is a little janky, like the number 57. And the other ones are rings, like finger rings, I think. But there's no change. Nothing new under the sun.
Some of these would be super weird to see. But anyway, I'm going to say yes, true. It is the same. These look to be about 1.4 inches in length.
Final answer?
Mm-hmm.
The correct answer is false. No. These earrings are 1.6 centimeters.
Oh, so they're really small.
Yeah.
Okay. If it wasn't 1.4, it was 1.6.
No.
That's splitting hairs.
No. It was 1.4 inches and 1.6 centimeters. So.
Centimeters, yes. Yeah. So it's much smaller.
Well, let's talk about their larval length. Caterpillars in later instars are 3 to 4 millimeters or 0.15 inches long. When they're like their first few instars, they're really, really tiny. If you can imagine a butterfly's egg and what comes out of that, that is very little. But Springfield Armory's Echelon comes in three sizes. One with a compact grip and two with shorter barrels and shorter slide assembly. True or false, the full-size Echelon has a barrel length that is the same as 30 caterpillars.
Yeah, I'll say true.
Final answer?
Yeah.
True. Yeah, pretty much. About two, like maybe a little bit a shaved off the last caterpillar, you would add. But yeah, the Echelon is the Echelon 4.5 has, you guessed it, 4.5 inch barrel. Why am I talking about Springfield Armory? Because apparently Springfield Armory, like the Echelon, and is made in Croatia. It's something of a controversy among gun enthusiasts, because apparently Springfield Armory has this image of the Americana, the old, you know, Springfield, like historic American gun company, and
they made muskets.
They outsourced some of the makings, some of the manufacturing.
It has a factory in another country?
That makes a lot of people, like, same thing with certain shotgun brands that are, like, pretty good, but they're made in, like, Turkey. Gun owners want stuff to be made domestically more than other people.
Well it's like, consumers. If you buy a BMW, it was most likely made in the United States.
Like put together in the United States?
No, there's a factory, a BMW factory in the United States.
Yeah, designed.
Make them here.
It's probably cheaper to do that than it is to ship cars across the ocean.
Especially with tariffs.
Yeah.
So just that's the whole point. But yeah. Turns out businesses make a set of factories in other places. Mm-hmm. Makes everything easier.
But in this case, cheaper. It's different because you're designing them here, outsourcing the work, the factories, the workers to another country where the labor is cheaper. And then, although I wouldn't think a European country like Croatia would be like,
Place to outsource.
I would think Turkey. I would think Mexico. You know, that those are the outsourcing places with like a lot of workers and good machining. But I don't know. Maybe Croatia.
Eastern Europe definitely falls into that category.
Okay. All right. And thank you.
A lot of places are outsourced to like Albanians and Romanians.
I mean, most people would say that the Springfield's stuff is good and reliable. It's just the fact that people don't like it, that their brand is Americana and they're not made here.
Interesting. I did not know they were based in Croatia.
Since I have Croatian heritage, a gun that says made in Croatia on it, I would almost want that in particular.
Almost.
As long as it's good and it's like, if it was a terrible gun, I wouldn't want it just because of that. But
it actually shoots you. Yeah. It's faced the wrong direction.
Right. It says something cool on it. let's talk about some fast facts before getting into the major fact. The species lives in dry grasslands. Or meadows at lower elevations and damp meadows among trees and alpine zones. They prefer altitudes of between 1,000 and 2,000 meters, sometimes lower. You could find them across the Palearctic with European populations in northern Portugal, western Pyrenees. Pyrenees? Yep. Yeah. That's like a dog, right? Is that where that dog's from?
I think so.
France, Eastern Germany.
Pyrenees.
Oh, yeah. Germany, Croatia, and Greece. Subspecies extend into the Caucasus, Central Asia, and parts of Asia. Rebelli, the mountain blue, the mountain alcon blue, so the Celsin blue. The Rebelli, which is the one we're talking about, is now often treated as an ecotype or a high altitude subspecies of the broader alcon blue, rather than a fully distinct species, but because genetic and physical differences are really small and usually tied to habitat and adaptation. So it's like, you know, the puma is a puma, but the one that lives up in the mountains is big, and the one that lives down in Florida in the swamps, and which cramped and like dense foliage, they're smaller. And so it's like, it's a subspecies that's adapted to a specific place. But, so they're saying maybe it's that. But some experts still separate them for conservation purposes due to distinct ecological requirements. So they fit into an ecological niche. They're saying, okay, that's enough for it to be its own species. They're not interchangeable because they need to be in those environments.
I still feel like a species should be decided on whether it is sexually exclusive.
Like, can they produce
viable offspring?
Can they interbreed with things that... Can they interbreed and produce things that breed?
Right, yeah. So, like, you can breed a horse and a donkey to make a mule, but the mule's not going to make anything else.
You can breed a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
That's I don't know what to think about that. I don't think I like that.
They lay their eggs on cross-leaved gentian, which is a plant, gentian. Young caterpillars feed inside the flowers and the developing seed pods. Adults live only a few days on average, around 1 to 2 days in some studies, but females can lay dozens of eggs per day during this brief period. And they focus heavily on finding suitable gentians for oviposition. Well, that's all I got for that. Do you have any big facts?
I do. I'm calling this one The Road to Smeldorado.
That's great.
More like Cheldorado. That's a movie that I really, really like it. And it's going to be a long time before I will show my kids that movie.
That's a movie where I came out of it thinking armadillos were the best thing in the world.
Armadillos,
they're
are
basically
awesome.
Real-life transformers. They can turn into a invincible
balls.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but there's like human sacrifice. True. There's necromancy. There's some innuendo.
Oh, yeah.
There's like, it's there's not like a let's watch this after Toy Story kind of movie. Mm-hmm. But neither is Black Cauldron, even though Disney seems to think like, oh, did you like Sword in the Stone? You'll love the Black Cauldron. No, I don't. I don't think I will, Disney. Plus, okay. So, the Mountain Alcon Blue. We have discussed a butterfly that does something similar to this. It's called the Large Blue Butterfly. Again, it is in the same family, Fingaris, and does something similar to ants. But I believe this pairs two methods together to get the best results. So, ants love to eat caterpillars. We all know this. It's a common adage. It's not, but Mountain Blue, Alcon Blue caterpillars face that threat head on. Rather than stay above the teeming colonies of ants below, this guy will attach a line of silk to a plant and do a Mission Impossible style descent to the ground, where the ants will swarm on it, but not eat the caterpillar. Instead, they will worship him, which is why I called this Captain Hack Sparrow. Because he gets captured by the Pelagostals, and they worship him with the intention of eating him. So it's a little bit of both.
Best of both worlds, or worse.
The worst of both worlds.
Yeah.
But,
idolatry.
Yeah, to be
and cannibalism.
to suddenly... One of those two things is explicitly forbidden.
True.
Anyway, it was very similar to Jack becoming the chief of the Pelagostals, and they will find this caterpillar and then make him king, or her. So the caterpillar will infiltrate the ant colonies by mimicking the pheromones or chemical signals of ant larvae. Pretend to be ant larvae. This is the same thing that the large blue butterfly does. Uses chemodeception. It violates the Geneva Convention. flying a boat using chemical warfare and flying under a false flag. That's double war crimes. But once inside, they don't just blend in like the large blue butterfly does. The mountain Alcon blue will start to produce these subtle vibrations and sounds that are meant to imitate an ant queen. So then the ants start treating it like it's the boss. Like it is the chief. It's not just, oh, we're going to take you in and treat you like our larva and not know the difference, kind of like the cuckoo bird. No, we're going to take you in and, oh, suddenly you're in charge. You're the queen. I'm sorry we left you outside, I guess. but this is their response to the pheromones, the chemical signals, get them into the ant colony, and keep them there. The vibrations and sounds have them climb the corporate ladder. So they get priority when rations are passed out, and they are the most protected in the entire colony. Members, quote unquote, of the colony. So they treat it like royalty. They feed it. And these signals are created by specialized organs that stridulate, which we've talked about stridulation before with like crickets and grasshoppers. It's rubbing two parts of the body together to make a specific sound. And this is obviously something that we can't really hear, but the ants hear or feel the stridulation here. And that signals to them that they're in the presence of the royalty, of the queen. The caterpillar also secretes its sugary substance that the ants eat. So it's kind of like bribing the ants with snacks. So it's like, you give me stuff that I eat, and then I will secrete stuff for you. Deal?
It's trade. Like, that's equivalent exchange.
Like the Slurm Queen from Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly equivalent exchange. It's not exactly a fair trade agreement because the caterpillar will also eat actual ant larvae. So he's skimming off the top. But this solves the caterpillar's biggest problem. In general, caterpillars have a hard time staying alive. They are fat and juicy and slow, and are easy pickings for almost anything that eats bugs. So you're either going to be camouflaged, poisonous, or you're going to go hang out with a bunch of ants. And the mountain Alcon blue caterpillar has chosen option three. I cannot tell you how many times I have to say caterpillar here, and I have to do it intentionally. I have to intentionally not say calipitter. Because I call it a calipitter way too late into life because my parents thought it was cute. And now I have to sit there and be like, I got to take a little micro pause. Caterpillar. The ants will remain loyal for the entire duration of this chemical mimicry and this rhythmic mimicry. It's kind of like hypnotizing the entire colony. Like, they don't really have a choice. It is tapping into, it is hacking them, hacking the ants. Similar to what we were talking about when we went over the Apomus beetle, that where the larva wants to get eaten by a frog. It wriggles in a way that, like, basically forces the frog's instincts to eat it. A frog that does not eat it, there's something wrong with it. So again, this is hacking the biology of an ant. It's basically, ants are basically just little cogs in a much larger machine. They don't do too much individualistic thinking on their own. This parasitic strategy allows the caterpillar to grow safely underground until it is ready to, say it with me, pupate. we love to pupate, especially underground. Basically, it just means it turns into a, it builds the cocoon around itself. And it will continue to produce these signals even while pupating. Even while in the cocoon, it will produce these signals both chemically and rhythmically and sonically. So that it continues to be protected. And then it will emerge as a butterfly and then just leave. If you love something, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no love to be found at all. They were all hypnotized. This is a WandaVision situation. Spoilers for WandaVision. But yeah. The thing that, so we, again, we have gone over this before, but the thing that the large blue butterfly was missing was the sonic mimicry to become queen of the colony. And that's it.
That's now, yeah, is no. The was the other one, the blue other one, the big blue, was it as sophisticated as this?
No, it would just it was kind of like the cuckoo bird, where it would pretend to be an ant larva and it would be treated like an ant larva until it pupated and pupated and then emerged as a butterfly. This one uses the ant larva trick to get in the door, and then it becomes queen using the sonic. So it's got a two-pronged plan.
Two phases.
It really is like fake it till you make it. This is like not knowing anything about, like, a company. Like, you go to Apple and you don't really know how to run a company or anything like that, but you pretend to know IT or something to get in the door, and then you immediately start talking exactly like the CEO. Mm-hmm. And then they just start and then you become the CEO. Like, okay. And then you get your golden parachute and you leave.
There you go.
Spread those golden wings and fly, fake CEO. All right. You got anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. That was the Mountain Alcon Blue for you out there in Podcastia. Face the threat head on. Play the right beats. And fake it till you make it, like the Mountain Alcon Blue here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans. I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
Life, Death, and Taxonomy is my favorite in the world podcast.
I kept thinking Cells in Blue this whole time.